going to be deja vu again for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Montreal Canadiens are headed to Winnipeg for the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
This is a throwdown, a showdown. Hell no, Rob Fay Nation can't slow down. It's going to go.
Carter on a break. He scores!
Boom! Look at, he's out cold.
The greatest pound-for-pound fighter.
The cream of the crop.
Oh, I know. Yes, we will get to that very shortly. I am Rob Fay. Welcome to your Tuesday edition of Sports Bar Radio as we break down the world of sports for you. Brought to you, as always, by Equity Guru. Now, a couple of ways that you can interact with me. If you'd like, you can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Fay, which is R-O-B, F as in Frank, A-I. Or wherever you subscribe to this podcast, please review, please like, and more than anything, please share as we try to spread the word about what we're doing here in the Sports Bar. All right, we're going to get to a lot of stuff today. I mean everything under the sun, from Joel Embiid and the Los Angeles Lakers without AD, to the Toronto Blue Jays, the Mariners, the PGA Tour, and Naomi Osaka. There's so much to get to, but again, we'll get to the VIP room in a couple of moments. But there is one story that reigns supreme above everybody else in Vancouver hockey fans. I know you're going to get your fill here over the next couple of minutes, so let's just get it over with. Let's get you to the lead.
We've scoured the globe for the stories that matter to you. Okay, well, let's be honest. Rob picks most of the stories, so maybe they matter more to him? Anyways, pull up a chair and let our bartender pour you a cold one, because there's a lot going on in your world today.
So Toronto, let me tell you, as a guy that physically grew up in East Toronto, this is preposterous. This is absolutely over the top. It can't happen again. And yet it keeps happening again. Toronto went out and they got that experience. You know, the stuff that helps in the locker room to make sure that your team can get that veteran leadership and get you over the hump. This year was supposed to be different. Veteran leadership. Lines 1-4, all with depth. But at the end of the day, it was the same old shit. It was the same old Toronto Maple Leafs. Yet another year, they end up going home in a Game 7. This time, it stings even more because it's not Boston, because it's not Ottawa. It's Montreal, the one team in the NHL that Toronto couldn't have had this happen to. And it did happen. And you knew after the first period of Game 7 that they were playing scared, that they were playing safe. It was the Canadiens in the second period that dropped the gauntlet. A garbage goal on a goalie that had actually been fantastic for the Maple Leafs this whole series in Jack Campbell, and that was it. That goal through the five hole was the entire series. And you can say that it would have been different if you had Jake Muzzin, and you could say that it would have been different if you had John Tavares, and you know what? Maybe so. But at the end of the day, when your big boys don't show up, it doesn't matter. Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews are to blame for this series. It doesn't matter what you do in the regular season. Austin Matthews is a Rocket Richard winner. He scored more goals than anybody in the entire NHL in the regular season. And you know what he had in a seven-game series? One goal. One lousy goal. Mitch Marner evaporated. Austin Matthews, in all of his Game 7s, still without a goal. So why would you want to keep together a team that, yes, on paper looks fantastic and analytically like they're amongst the league leaders, but they can't get it done when the chips are on the table? Like, look around right now to the other teams that have their players stepping up to the forefront in big-time moments. Hell, look at the Vancouver Canucks. Even Pettersson, his team's nowhere remotely close to the playoffs this year, and yet people can still look back at the previous playoff season in the bubble when Elias Pettersson elevated his game. The Toronto Maple Leafs are cowards. The Toronto Maple Leafs are scared to win. And now, they're out. And now, they're the laughingstock of the NHL again. And now, after everything that they did in the regular season, it doesn't mean shit. So what do you do? Don't just bring me your problems, Faye. Bring me your solutions. Brendan Shanahan has to go. This guy's had, what, 7 years to try and get the character and the morale. Come on, man. Remember, he was the grease guy. when he was hired, he was brought on to be that one guy that was going to galvanize and solidify because he was coming from that pedigree of nothing but success. They are 0-7 with Brendan Shanahan. Just saying. Kyle Dubas, he's the numbers guy. He went out and he signed the guys that he thought were going to round out this lineup. But you know what? It wasn't probably at his counsel solely. So if there's one guy, believe it or not, that I don't think should take the fall, it's Kyle Dubas. Does he need to go on the clock right now and make some bold moves? You're damn right. But at the same time, I think this is the president goes, and I think every single player is on the block. All of them. Nylander, Marner, Matthews, Anderson, all of them. It doesn't matter what their contract looks like. It doesn't matter if they're the face of the franchise. They're on the block. All of them. Because at the end of the day, these guys can't win. And this isn't a heart thing. Everybody goes onto the ice thinking that they can win. Everybody believes that they can dream of that Game 7 victory and then go out and execute it. But you know what? When the puck actually hits the ice and the clock starts winding down and everybody's eyes are on you, some guys can't handle that. Some guys play scared. And the Toronto Maple Leafs yesterday played scared. They played for their lives in the third period. Oh, they outshot the Canadiens 3-1. But by then, the game was over. Because you aren't going to score three goals on Carey Price when you're down 2-0 in the third. I don't know if you know this, but the guy at the other end of the ice is one of the best on the planet. And you left the door open. You left that little crack. And Carey Price is good enough to get his team in. So now it's the Jets and the Canadiens. The Oilers are out. The Leafs are out. There's a lot of people that are out a lot of money because they thought for sure that this was going to be the highlight and the showcase of all showcases. Dude, Sportsnet's got to be pissed. Sportsnet 2 weeks ago was probably already putting together highlight packages of McDavid and Dreisaitl and Marner and Matthews. And you know who they get? Brendan f***ing Gallagher and Tyler Toffoli. I don't care about TV ratings. I don't care about radio ratings. I don't care about clicks and all the stuff that goes with it. Bottom line is Winnipeg was good enough to get through and Montreal was good enough to get through. If you ask me who wins that next series, who cares? But when I circle back on Toronto, at the end of the day, the Toronto Maple Leafs need a page one rewrite. President goes, coach goes, everybody's up on the blocks and you start from scratch. And if you have to rebuild this team, rebuild it. If you have to retool it, retool it. But if you dare come back with the same core that you have next year and expect a different result, then you're the biggest idiot in the room. You cannot question the Maple Leafs' character anymore. It's timid, and it is not good enough to win. It is predictable, and it is lonely. Because everybody in this country wants the Maple Leafs to lose. And guess what? The Maple Leafs continue to feed everybody in Canada. You don't think Vancouver and fans in Calgary and Edmonton and Montreal and Ottawa and Winnipeg are all sitting back laughing? Do you think anybody cares that Toronto lost? What makes it sting even more? It's deja vu all over again. You know what the worst part about it is? Is knowing that it was going to happen. When Montreal won Game 5 and it became 3-2, you said, you know what? This could go 7 because Game 6 is going to go in Montreal. And if they win in Montreal, then we know anything can happen in a Game 7. And then we open the history books. And everybody in Leaf Nation looked at each other and said, please don't let it go to Game 7. And we all sat back and we knew that once this did get to the final game, to the 7th and deciding game, that Toronto was going to lose this. Nobody thought that Toronto was going to win this game. Sure, maybe they turned on the camera and said it so that they could get a couple extra clicks, but nobody in their heart really believed that when they lost Game 5 and when they lost Game 6, that they were going to somehow miraculously find that bottle of water that's going to give them the energy to get over the top, that they were going to drink from it. Bottom line is they ran out of not energy, but they ran out of heart. You play scared in the NHL and you will lose every single time. Like, take a look at Vancouver. That's not a team that played scared. That's just a team that's not good enough. Because aside from their core of Pettersson and Hughes and Besser and Horvat and JT Miller, there is a collection of garbage all around it. So if you shut down that three or four players, you will more likely than not win. And that shouldn't have happened to Toronto. But it did. Because you know what? They're not as different as you think they are. But what I will say about Vancouver is when you saw them in the bubble last year, they played with heart. They didn't play scared. They played like they had nothing to lose, and they nearly got to the Western Conference Final. You know what's going to be funny is by the time Toronto figures this out, Ottawa is going to be the force. Ottawa is going to be the team that knocks them out. Calgary, Edmonton, who knows? Like, Calgary is far away from anything. Edmonton's going to have to take a serious look at what they are. Meanwhile, Winnipeg and Montreal are going to live the dream because one of them is going to be able to go to the third round of this postseason. And they're not going to tinker with anything. But Montreal saved jobs. Actually, both teams saved jobs. Winnipeg probably saved Paul Maurice's job. And in Montreal, jobs were saved as well. But in Toronto, fire them all. Get rid of all of them. I don't care if today at some point or tomorrow at some point you said that you fired the president, the GM, the head coach, and everybody was on the blocks. Oh, Rob, you're being way too dramatic. It's going to be fine. It's not going to be fine. Because you know what was exposed yet again? The inability to play with confidence. They played scared. And I don't know if you know this, but you don't win when you play scared. You don't win when you have a dump in your pants. And right now, Toronto is that team. All the ability on paper in the world. All the ability to light it up in the regular season. But when the postseason comes, we can already predict what's going to happen. They can't get out of the first round. And Maple Leaf Nation, you can't argue with me. Because I've got 17 straight years of proof that you cannot get out of the first round. So as much as I tell everybody across Canada to just relax because it's not your team and we'll deal with it internally, to Leaf Nation, if you even remotely think that this team should come back as is, then you've been played for a fool. All right, I guess there's other sports that we got to talk to around the NHL, around the NBA. We'll talk a little Major League Baseball. Naomi Osaka in the news. The fallout from her leaving the French Open is still resonating. And so much more. Okay, let me just take a deep breath here. Let's get you into the one room where you have to be composed, where you have to be a little more sophisticated. Yes, it's time to clean myself up, because we're not going into just any room. We're going into the VIP room.
You knew tonight was going to be a good night, didn't you? Guys, the ladies don't want you wasting their time, so get to the point. 10 topics, 10 minutes. Hold on to your drinks, because we're about to bring you the entire world of sports before the DJ can pull out the vinyl for his next set. Welcome to the VIP room.
All right, let's get to a couple of things really quickly from yesterday. Ryan Reeves does get a 2-game suspension by the NHL for his actions in Game 1. If you remember, in the third period back on Sunday, he was involved with a little bit of a scuffle with Ryan Graves. He was assessed a match penalty and then gets the 2 games because he put his knee on the head of Ryan Graves. Not exactly what you want to see for Reeves, but more than anything, he will be back and available for Game 4. Nazem Kadri tried to challenge his 8-game suspension for the hit to the head of Blues defenseman Justin Falk back in Game 2 of the Avalanche's first-round series against St. Louis. Because of Kadri's history of suspensions, especially in the postseason, it looked as if this was going to be a tough appeal, and it in fact was. Gary Bettman has upheld that suspension. Kadri will not be eligible to return to the lineup until Game 7 of the Avalanche's second-round series of the Golden Knights. If in fact it goes 7, we probably won't see him until the Western Conference Final. Last night, in addition to Montreal beating Toronto 3-1, the Islanders needed overtime, but they get past Boston 4-3 to even up that series at a game apiece. Don't sleep on the New York Islanders. Nobody had them picked in the pool, but right now they are fighting the good fight, and I gotta think that Tuukka Rask will be in net for Boston come Game 3. Bruce Cassidy, coach of the Bruins, saying that, yeah, his injuries are nagging, and right now I don't believe there's any reason to think that he won't be ready to go on Thursday, so that's where we're at with Tuukka. If you watch that game, even a little bit of the game, you'll realize that Rask wasn't at 100%. He made 35 saves, but in the extra frame, watches as the Islanders net the winner. Only one game on the ice tonight. It is Tampa Bay looking to shoot more on the power play. Carolina aiming to crash the net in front of Andrei Vasilevskiy. Tampa Bay looks to continue rolling in the postseason. Again, the only game on the NHL ice tonight. All right, very quickly, let's switch gears and talk a little bit about tennis, because the Naomi Osaka story just doesn't seem to be going away. Now, a couple of days ago, she skipped out on a media availability at the French Open at Roland Garros and was fined $15,000 by the Tennis Federation. And also, they doubled down by saying if she continued to do it, the fines would go up and there was a possibility of a suspension. So, What does Naomi Osaka do? She then doubles down and withdraws from the tournament, citing that she would need to step away because she was having some challenges with her mental health. Now, at that point, that's where everybody should have put the brakes on and just said, listen, she's young, she's going through all this pressure. Maybe it just wasn't her time to step in front of the cameras. But nope, French Tennis Federation President Gilles Morton held a Monday night presser and basically said, quote, "We wish Naomi the quickest possible recovery," unquote. As if depression is an injury that will heal itself shortly. Now, he and his colleagues had postured about the press conferences and how important they were and didn't even take a single question afterwards. That's pretty old school if you ask me. And they are trying desperately to maintain control and really didn't put Naomi at the forefront. Yes, they simply said, well, we hope she gets better. But you could tell that they didn't acknowledge their wrongdoing. So when that happened, a lot of people came to the forefront. A lot of athletes stepping forward. Serena Williams said, the only thing that I could feel is that I feel for Naomi. I wish I could just give her a big hug because I know what it's like. Like I said, I've been in those positions. We have different personalities and people are different. More have come out. NBA guard Kyrie Irving, who himself, you know, has skipped media obligations over the course of his career, said on social media, "We are all with you, Queen. Just be you, and that will always be enough." Steph Curry said, "You shouldn't ever have to make a decision like this, but so damn impressive taking the high road when the powers that be don't protect their own. Major respect." It is egg all over the face of Roland Garros. It is all over the face of the French Open, and the media themselves starting to come around on this, shining light on how many things Naomi Osaka has done positively within the media. Well, to the association, Joel Embiid having an MRI on his right knee following a loss to the Washington Wizards. Philadelphia was trying to close out Washington, but Russell Westbrook stepped up, as did the Wizards, and they forced a Game 5 against Philadelphia. Now, the bigger question, Joel Embiid, a pretty big piece of the puzzle for the 76ers, who will have a couple more chances to close out Washington. You would assume they would do this. I only say that because Toronto had a 3-1 series. Anyways. But I got to think, if the MRI comes back, they'll have him back quickly. And if there's something wrong, that it's going to be all hands on deck for the 76ers to just try and get past the Washington Wizards. And this is tough because 76ers finally hitting their stride. No more Raptors Nation. They're right near the top of the Eastern Conference. This was supposed to be their time, so that injury couldn't come at a worse time. Well, speaking of injuries, it couldn't come at a bad time. Lakers could be without Anthony Davis for some time. And that really opens up the Wild West. And if you don't have the other piece of the two-headed monster and you just got LeBron, I feel that the Lakers are completely exposed. AD could be out a little while. Now, the Lakers and Phoenix, again, tied at 2 games apiece. Game 5 tonight, that is the late game of the 5. And again, it looks as if Anthony Davis will not be in that game. Boston getting ready to take on Brooklyn. Boston trying to fight off elimination. Brooklyn leads that series 3 games to 1. And Portland and Denver, great series right now. Damian Lillard showing out. Denver getting back into this series. It's even at 2. That one going tonight at 6 o'clock from Denver. Now to the diamond, and the Orioles are just brutal. They have lost 14 games in a row. It is their worst losing streak since 1988, when they got off to an 0-21 start, if you can believe that. They finished the month of May 5-23, and it doesn't look like it's going to get any better. Orioles are going to try to take on the Twins. Michael Pineda gets the ball against Bruce Zimmerman, so that's going to be a tough go. There has not been a 15-game losing streak in the majors dating back to 2013, when the Astros lost 15 in a row. Well, Toronto Blue Jays will start a series against Miami Marlins. They're going to do it in their second home of the year as the Blue Jays packed up in Dunedin, where they lost their final 6 games, I might add, and start this series at Saline Field in Buffalo. And yes, more major upgrades to their AAA facility, which should make it feel a little bit more like a major league stadium. Updated clubhouses, facilities all throughout the ballpark that have enhanced the experience for these players, which is a good thing. But aside from feeling comfortable, it is go time for the Toronto Blue Jays. As they open up this series, they are 6.5 games back at Tampa Bay, who leads that division, winners of 5 in a row, 14 of their past 15. They're 2 back of Boston and just a game back of the New York Yankees, so still very much part of the conversation in the American League East. Seattle still with an opportunity to pull even closer to within the Oakland A's. Seattle has won 5 games in a row and a handful of those games against division-leading Oakland to pull themselves to within just 2.5 games of top spot in the highly competitive American League West. If they can win tonight, 6 wins in a row, 1.5 games out of first, and boy, I'll tell you what, all of a sudden people in the Pacific Northwest are going to be starting to talk baseball, and it might not just be the Toronto Blue Jays. New York Mets with a 3.5 game lead over Atlanta in the National League East. They've won 5 in a row, one of the hottest teams around. As well as Milwaukee, who's gotten back into the conversation in the National League Central. They've won 5 in a row. Hottest team in the National League West is the San Francisco Giants. Half game better than San Diego, 2 games better than the Dodgers. All of those three teams at least 10 games above 500. That is easily the most competitive division in all of baseball. Vancouver Canadiens opening up a 6-game series as they get ready to take on the Eugene Emeralds. They'll do so at Ron Tonkin Field. Vancouver, between being the road team and the home team, will have played 25 games in one venue over 28 nights. It is an unbelievable stretch at Ron Tonkin Field in Hillsborough. Sean Weimer getting the ball for the Vancouver Canadiens tonight, 0-1 with a 6.32 ERA. Opposite Aaron Phillips, 0-1 with a 7.36. Might want to take the over in this game. Vancouver Canadiens in a tie for first with the Eugene Emeralds. So it's a battle for top spot in the High A West Division. And finally, coming up at the PGA Tour, the Memorial is front and center. Everybody talking about who might be able to snag this one. Patrick Cantlay comes in as a player that many are keeping their eye on, who bounced back from a stretch of 3 straight miscuts to finish 23rd at the PGA Championship. Everybody says that this course that he's about to play on is going to be right there. He won this event by 2 strokes at 19 under par in 2019. He was a top 5 in almost every statistical category at this tournament, and right now he is coming in at plus 2,200. So Patrick Cantlay, coming off a real good showing at the PGA Championship, 2 years removed from winning this tournament, the Memorial. You never know if you wanted to place a little bit of money. Okay, I'm going to take my break here because I don't want to get too excited about my bets, because I got a couple of picks for you on the other side that are definitely going to be worth your while. I'm Rob Fay. You're listening to Sports Bar Radio. And as always, it is presented to you by Equity Guru.
You're listening to Sports Bar Radio with Rob Fay, brought to you by Equity Guru. Equity Guru, investment information for millennials and madmen.
This segment is brought to you by Diagnose. Diagnose is a Canadian biotech company that uses eye scans and artificial intelligence to detect a variety of medical conditions remotely without the need for a doctor's visit. They're currently operating in 16 countries with 131 screening sites and just announced a move into Europe. Their ticker symbol is ADK. For more information about Diagnose, visit www.equity.guru.
Welcome back to Sports Bar Radio with host Rob Fay, brought to you by Equity.guru.
All right, so already getting some feedback from my first segment when I went in. I don't think I went in that hard on the Toronto Maple Leafs, did I? I mean, at the end of the day, they had a 3-1 series lead and again blew it. So I'm not going to circle back too much on this, but maybe what I'll do is I'll try to explain the psyche of a guy that lives in Vancouver yet cheers for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, you have to remember, and I don't know how much you know me or know much about me, but I grew up in Toronto. I moved to Vancouver in 1994. Imagine this. I was a 17-year-old. What was I? 17, 18, somewhere in there. Born in 74, 92. I was 18 years old, and all of a sudden, the Toronto Blue Jays win the 1992 World Series. Champions. Young Street, high fives, millions of people, well, hundreds of thousands of people downtown, and it was a party. 93, Joe Carter hits the home run, Young Street, hundreds of thousands of people, and it is just on like Donkey Kong. So then all of a sudden, my mother and I moved to Vancouver, and it just happened to be 1994, and the Vancouver Canucks go to the Stanley Cup final. So I'm just sitting back thinking, boy, wherever I go, everything I touch turns to gold. I just remember thinking to myself as I moved to Vancouver, I was really taken aback by people's distaste for the Blue Jays, for the Maple Leafs, for anything Toronto. True story. I had just moved to Vancouver. I'd only been here a couple of months, and I was on a bus in North Vancouver because that's where we had set up shop. And I think it was about like 11th and Lonsdale. And I just happened to be wearing a Toronto Blue Jays jacket, one that said back-to-back World Series champions on it. And I get off the bus, and there's 3 guys. They get off the bus with me, probably a year or two older than me, so in their early 20s, and started pushing me around. True story, I had just moved to Vancouver and didn't have any of my friends, didn't know anybody, so it's not like I could call up my boys and say, hey man, this is going down. And they basically just trashed me for wearing that jacket. So I went home completely oblivious to just the true hatred of anything Toronto from people outside of the GTA because I had grown up in it. I had grown up in the bubble of superiority. We had this superiority complex that we didn't care about what was happening in Vancouver or Calgary or Edmonton. I mean, that was three time zones away. I was three quarters of the way to bed before the puck was even dropped at the Pacific Coliseum. So I just never realized how much people hated Toronto outside of Toronto because I had never really experienced anything beyond it. So I'm not using that bullying moment to say that that's the reason that I hate Vancouver, and I don't hate Vancouver. I've actually come to really appreciate the Canucks, both as an organization and what they mean to this community. I see what they do in the community. I loved watching the West Coast Express. I eventually came to really like the Sedins. Roberto Luongo. I mean, I've really immersed myself in Vancouver sport. But the reason, and again, maybe you have to have experienced it to understand this. The reason that I hold on to my appreciation and my love of the Toronto Maple Leafs is it brings me back to a different time in my life, my childhood, my teenage years. And it was a really big deal. Like, I still remember my first ever hockey game that I went to. It was a 6-3 Toronto Maple Leafs victory. Rick Vive scored a hat trick. And just remember being a little kid all of a sudden seeing all these hats fly down from the second level at the Maple Leaf Gardens and just thinking to myself, oh my God, like, this is the greatest thing ever. And that was essentially how I fell in love with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So you move across the world or you go to different countries, experience different things, but that's your brand, that's your team. And sure, do I love the Vancouver Canucks as much as I love the Toronto Maple Leafs? I do. But they represent, for me personally, two completely different parts of my life. So yeah, do I cheer for the Vancouver Canucks? I do. But do I cheer for the Toronto Maple Leafs? I do. Because I've got an affection for both. And I would think that if you moved abroad and all of a sudden you pulled out your Vancouver Canucks jersey and people are like, oh, Vancouver Canucks, you would defend it because it represents your home. It represents where you're from. So I would like to think that I'm half Torontonian, half Vancouverite, proud to be from both cities and cheer equally for those teams. Now, if they got to the Stanley Cup final, who would I cheer for? Well, let's just see if we can ever even get to the Western Conference Final, and we'll talk about it from there. Okay, so here's what I wanted to circle back on is when people will say, okay, well, why are you going in on the Maple Leafs if you're such a fan of them? And I think the reason that I wanted to maybe just show my displeasure with them today, and I didn't want to record this last night, I didn't want to get into this a night ago because I just think it would have been filled with a bunch of FUs and this sucks and all that stuff. I really just wanted to kind of take a minute to digest what this is. And I think the problem that I face is that, and this probably rings true in Vancouver as well. We know when we've got a team that plays with grit. We know when we've got a team that isn't skilled, but they have a ton of heart. And we know when we have a team that is really skilled, but don't play with heart. I think over the last 15, 20 years, we can say here in Vancouver that we've seen both. I think that'd be fair to say. So in Toronto, over the last couple of years, they've constantly been able to go out and get pieces. Like, to be able to land John Tavares, and to be able to all of a sudden in that 1 year, we get the first overall pick, go out and get Austin Matthews. Like, the last couple of years, you've thought to yourself, boy, this could really happen. This is finally where they've assembled a team where you feel like you got the right president in place, you've got the right general manager in place, you've got an organization that's willing to spend, spend, spend. And they just continue to flop. Now, I don't mind if they play their ass off and they flop, but when you consistently see a team that is built for success flounder in the first round, well, what is the common denominator in all this? Like, the reality is when you have a superior team analytically, you should advance, right? Not always. And the reason that there's certain teams that can't get over the hump, it isn't a lack of skill, it isn't a lack of ability, it's because they don't have that sixth sense. They don't have that ability to go out there and find victories. There are proactive teams and there are reactive teams. And Toronto strikes me, of all the league's elite teams, to be the most reactive of the elite. And what I mean by reactive is they wait for shit to happen and then they try like hell to dig themselves out of the tunnel that they're in. Certain teams like, I'm just going to throw some names out there, but you look at teams like St. Louis from a couple of years ago, or what Colorado has become, or Vegas over the last couple of years, or Tampa Bay, or even Boston for that matter. There are certain teams that force your hand. that go out there and play so strong and so tenacious that if you're good and you can keep up, yeah, you got a shot to beat them. But if you're not, you're going to fall by the wayside. It doesn't matter how good your skills are. Like, you look at Edmonton, for example, and that is a team that is just one-dimensional. I mean, if you can track down Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid, you will win that series. But Toronto was built differently. They were built to be a little more broader, four lines that could roll. They went out and they got a pretty good defensive core. Jack Campbell was an awesome man. And by the way, Jack Campbell is the one guy in the series I will not pin any of that on. Did he let in a softball to open up the scoring in Game 7? Yeah. But you know what? Jack Campbell also, in all of those games, in a majority of those games, kept his Maple Leafs team in it. And they just didn't help him out at all. I mean, you think of those games, 5, 6, and 7, name a period where they helped out Jack Campbell. I mean, sure, they were down a couple of goals and got it to overtime, and then they fell in Game 6, and you sit there and you say, well, they tried to help him out there. No, it shouldn't have even been in that situation. See, you got to remember, Montreal going into the postseason wasn't exactly going in like a wrecking ball. This series should have been over real early. And the reason they couldn't close it, in my estimation, is because they just didn't have heart. And I'm not going to raise my voice anymore. There's no more F-bombs. It's just one of those things where as a true fan of that team, you can see it in the eyes. You can see it in the body language. You can see it in so many different ways that they just were scared. Even in the post-game handshake line, when Austin Matthews got together with Carey Price, you couldn't see Carey Price's face, obviously, but you could see him standing upright. And then you just see Austin Matthews just completely weathered from the experience. Now, this is a team in Toronto that has had everything handed to them. In Vancouver, we have to start our games early. In Edmonton and Calgary, we got to start our games early because, heaven forbid, Vancouver actually gets a start time and Torontonians have to watch a game at 9 o'clock or, dare we say, 10 o'clock. I understand that sometimes Vancouver has to make those concessions just so that they can get maximum eyeballs. But at the same time, there's no excuses for Toronto. Like, there really is no excuses. So when you hear me going in on Toronto, it's not me trying to get cheap heat. It's because I understand what hockey means to that community. I understand what it means to the pulse of Toronto and to Ontario. And I think the thing that bothers me is we can smell a team that can't win. And this team now smells like a team that just can't get it done. Great regular season team. Like, if I was a corporate guy and I was bringing a couple of people to the arena and I wanted to show well in the regular season, yeah, there's Austin Matthews. Maybe he pots a goal or two. And don't get me wrong, Austin Matthews is still elite as far as his skill set goes. But he's not a winner. And I don't know if he's ever going to win with Toronto. I don't know if there's anybody in this organization right now that is going to be able to get over the hump. That is such a monkey on the back right now for Toronto that now spans 17 years, whether they've gotten into the postseason or just not been able to get past the first round, that I really believe you need a cultural shift. Like, I'm sorry, but the guys there, there's just so much residual frustration with this organization right now that I really feel, and that's why I said everybody should be on the block, because you've got to just shake this thing to the core. You got to break it down, and you've got to build it back up. Like, I'm sorry, this just isn't a team that's going to win you a Stanley Cup. There's been too many opportunities for them to prove me wrong, and they haven't. And it's not like they got to the Stanley Cup final and lost. They can't get out of the first round. And I'm not just talking about once or twice. Like, even when Vancouver was playing Chicago, and we kept getting bounced, we kept getting bounced, we knew that when we were playing Chicago, we were going to lose. When we finally, quote-unquote, and we is a term I like to use, when we slayed the dragon, do you remember the monkey that came off of this city's back? That they had finally not just won a series, but won a series against Chicago. This was supposed to be that series for Toronto. Because not only were they to exhume the demons of all their failures from years past, but they were going to do it against their most hated and bitter rival. Like, I don't think people in Vancouver truly understand the magnitude of distaste between Toronto and Montreal. It is up there with the Yankees and the Red Sox. Like, it is a vile distaste for each other. Like, I'll tell you this, true story. One city in Canada that I have never traveled to in my life. This is a true story. I've never been to Montreal because I just was grown and bred to despise everything that came from La Belle Provence. I didn't like the Expos, I didn't like the Alouettes, and I sure the hell didn't like the Canadiens. Because I was from Toronto. That shit counted. And so, realistically, to have a 3-1 series lead and then to lose, yeah, it's frustrating. But what the Salt Bay moment is in all of this is that it's to the Canadiens. And that is the final straw for me. That is the first time where I sit back and I say to myself, enough. They could have lost that series to anybody else in the NHL. Hell, if they'd have lost to Vancouver, or if they'd have lost to Edmonton or Calgary or Winnipeg or Ottawa, I don't care. But when you lose to your arch rivals, your nemesis, for generations, that to me is the final straw. That's the backbreaker, and that's why I woke up this morning pissed off. And I'm glad that I didn't do this show last night, because it wouldn't have benefited you. It wouldn't have benefited me. It would have just been a complete gong show from start to finish, and you just get on with it. But anyways, if you wonder why, just to circle back and finish up this thought here, if you wonder why I am so passionate about the Toronto Maple Leafs, again, they represent a part of my childhood. They represent a part of my history. And I hope over the last, 10, 15 minutes here, you can understand the logic as to why I hold on to those blue and white heartstrings. But make no mistake, I'm not trying to tell you that you're wrong. And if you want to kick sand in the Maple Leafs' face, have at it. It's deserved. And the whole country, because of what we get fed from the media, I can understand why you're pissed off, and I can understand the joy that you take in this moment. But there's no joy in my world tonight. I wake up, I think about this all day, and the only conclusion that I can come to is that the current group that they have in-house can't get it done. And it hurts to say that. All right, here's what we'll do. Very quickly, couple of picks. By the way, I just got shoved last night on our Wanna Bet segment, but I've got an opportunity to get back on the right side of the winning ledger. So let's get you to the one. I'm sorry, man. I'm like 2-7 in my last 9 picks, so I'm a little on the ropes here. But I think I've got a couple of winners for you. I say that knowing the week that I've had. But you know what? I'm going to stand up, I'm going to dust myself off, and we're going to play some bets. Want to bet?
I can't tell you how many times I've had to break up shoving matches between two guys fighting over what team they think will win the big game. Boys, you want to know who locks and who the long shots are? Why didn't you just ask?
All right, the big game of the association tonight, depends on who your team is, but Denver-Portland is one that I really am looking in on, because Portland right now is 8-2 against the spread in their past 10 road games. The over is 7-3 in the last 10 games at Ball Arena. So this is a game that both these teams are going to try to show out in, but I got to think that Portland is going to step up in this one. I'm taking Portland to win this game. I'm taking Portland to cover the spread in this game, which is just 2 points, and I think that it's going to take the over. 226 is the over-under on this one. I'm thinking these guys go deep. So, again, if you want to talk about Denver and the Trailblazers, Denver looking to rebound from one of its worst games of the season, taking on Portland at home, game 5 of the Western Conference, but I just think Portland is rolling right now. I think that Damian Lillard and company get going. Going to stick to the hardwood on this one. Phoenix and the Lakers, very big game 5. It's basically a best of 3 after Phoenix even the first round series Sunday with a win in Los Angeles. Total has gone under in 3 of the 4 games in this series, and Phoenix is 15-2 straight up in their last 17 home games. I think, combined with that and the fact that Anthony Davis is not available for this game, Phoenix is going to win, but Los Angeles is going to cover this game. It is Lakers plus 5. Phoenix at minus 5, so I think Phoenix is going to win, but this one's going to be airtight, and that is going to be where I'm going to place my money in this one. I'm going to say that Phoenix wins, Los Angeles covers, and the total is going to go over. Total in this game is just 207. I think they're factoring in Anthony Davis not being a part of it, but I think Phoenix is going to step up, and that is where I'm going to go with that one. Final one, Yankees in Tampa Bay, if you want to do something from the diamond. Tampa Bay is 20-7 on the road this season. Remember, they're the hottest team in all of Major League Baseball over the last 3 weeks. Yankees are 1-6 in their last 7 home games versus Tampa Bay. And by the way, the under is 11-1 in New York's last 12 games. So I'm going to take New York to break this, and I think you're going to make some money here. New York will win, and the total will go under the 7.5 runs that are posted in this game. So again, I wish you nothing but good luck. Please do your own due diligence. This segment is simply to give you a little bit of advice, maybe some facts, but you've got to place that bet using your own money, so please be careful and bet responsibly. All right, my thanks to everybody behind the scenes for bringing you another edition of Sports Bar Radio, to Jay Swing, who, by the way, I wanted to shout out both him and Flip Out, the Flippin' Jay Show, now available courtesy of Equity Guru. Go to Mixcloud, find this, I promise you, it is the best summer listening that you will experience. You can put the windows down in your car, you can stream the Flippin' Jay Show, and it will not disappoint. They did a Tribe Called Quest tribute show, second to none. I mean, you can put this up on any American station, and it would go toe-to-toe with the Giants. My thanks to everybody at Equity Guru. Chris Perry, you are building yourself a monster with the lineup right now. My thanks to Galen, JP Chung, and of course, the straw that stirs the proverbial drink, Priscilla Choi. Until you and I do this together tomorrow, I'm Rob Fay. You've been listening to Sports Bar Radio, as always presented to you by Equity Guru. Have yourself a great afternoon.
Sports Bar Radio was brought to you by Equity Guru, investment information for the new generation. Visit us at equity.guru and let's make some money together. Please note, any mention of companies on this podcast is part of a promotional campaign, and the information you hear should be a part of extensive due diligence. As well, always get advice from an accredited financial advisor before you make any investment decision. Protect yourself.